the unsurpassed and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad Kelvins. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself.
See the Buddha, see the Dharma, see the Sangha. Imagine that you're a traveler and you're making a journey and you come to a great city and your journey takes you right through that city. And there's no easy route through it. Every route is difficult. Lots of possibilities of finding that you've lost yourself, you've lost your way. There's no straight road that goes right through it and then out to the other side. But in order to accomplish the goal of your journey, you've got to go through this city. You've got to come out the other side somewhere. The side opposite of the one you entered on. So you enter this city and you soon find that most people are living in normal, decent family life. And you walk on and you pass an area where there's university, you pass other educational institutions, you pass an art museum, you pass a little bohemian district. You find yourself partway through in a dangerous kind of ghetto-ish area where there's lots of rowdy people and drugs and drunkenness evident. You carry on from there and you come to a red light district where, as people nowadays euphemistically put it, there's the sex trade going on. As if that was actually something that can be traded in. You could call it the trade of broken dreams is a better name for it. You come to a park right in the center of town. Not necessarily all that far from some beautiful churches. And maybe there's a political event going on. Anyway, people are arguing and disputing and there's insults being shouted. You maybe bump into someone in the crowd and they push you. You're tempted to push back. You go on, and as you go on through the city, you encounter all the aspects of our human life. People doing good and worthwhile things. People sinking into the mud and debasing themselves. Some people involved in entertainments and pleasures that are harmless. Some people involved in much more risky behaviors. If you want to accomplish your goal of getting through that city to the other side, what is the attitude you have to take? What is the attitude of mind you have to take? Well, let's talk a moment about the attitude that, some of the attitudes that won't work. One attitude that doesn't help is to be overly curious about what everyone is doing. If you follow out such interest and curiosity, you could easily spend an awful lot of time there. After all, the city's made up just of people like you, who are more or less content to live there their whole lives. But if you have the task of going through that city, obviously if you get too interested in what's going on in it, you might just end up spending the rest of your life there and never accomplish the goal of your journey. And while you stay there, you run the risk, the longer you're there, the more you run the risk of getting sucked into things that actually aren't conducive to your journey, whether they be helpful for the people concerned, the people who live there, or not. So in other words, one has to have some clarity as to one's own purpose if one's going to undertake a journey through this city to the other side. And one has to have a certain amount of resolve that one's going to stick to that purpose and not get sidetracked. But as you go along, being a human, of course, some things are going to kind of call out to you and appeal to you. And some things are going to be repugnant. If as you go through the city, you grasp after all the things that appeal to you, and you recoil from all the things that are repugnant, you're not going to get anywhere. You'll be like a ball that's bouncing around in a closed container, bouncing towards one thing, bouncing off another, but never getting out of the container. For this aspect of one's attitude, it helps to know one's own weaknesses, the kinds of things that can hook one, the kinds of things that one tends to react so strongly to in fear or revulsion that if one needs to go through that part of the city that is causing that reaction, one might not ever go through it. It's a principle of existence, whether people know it or not, and I think most people don't know it, but that doesn't mean that it's not something that applies, that we actually can't help loving the beings that we meet. We often think that we only love the ones who are closest to us or who we admire. But that's not true. This is a wonderful fact of existence. And one has to be a little careful about how one handles it, what one does on the basis of it. if you can fall into company with people and quickly come to love them in a way that isn't actually so helpful for someone doing a journey, therefore, another quality of the person who's going to successfully negotiate his or her way through this city is a more spiritually mature capacity to love, where you can love with an element of detachment. To do this, you need to be able to entrust the beings that you love into the hands of the Eternal and avoid the temptation to try to take the place of the Eternal. Or, for that matter, to allow another person to take the place of the Eternal for you. Nothing takes the place of our Buddha nature. Of course, this is a metaphor for how we train in this world of samsara. But I'll tell you something about it. This particular metaphor that came up for me recently wasn't about just samsara in general. It was really from reflecting on the way the internet's being used and how one would train if one is making use of that tool. It's easy for people to forget that when you go online, it's not just like opening a book. You can very, very quickly start involving yourself with other people, some of whom you may never meet. And as you involve yourself with them, you're also possibly involving yourself with their opinions and their aspirations, their confusion, sometimes their resentments, their doubts. Every website on that internet is like a little house in the city that you have to go by. Those who inhabit that website may be people you wish to befriend. They may be people you thought wiser to avoid. You only have to follow the news a bit to see the way in which the internet is used for defamation of character, spreading hatred and delusion. Be careful what you take in through your eyes and your ears. Be careful what you react to and how you react to it. Walking through the city of the internet is no different from walking through a physical city. It's a mental act rather than a physical act. But it's still an act that has very real consequences. Acts of mind are the root of all karma. The fundamental act is an act of mind from which acts of speech and body come. Be careful about who you associate with. Dogen cautioned us, avoid the company of those who are ignorant with regard to the laws of the universe. And that's just as true on the internet as anywhere else. since this talk is going to be put on our website, I'd be the last person to deny that the internet is a wonderful tool that can be used for good. It's also a means by which you can very quickly break the precepts and do harm to yourself. If you want to walk through any city, in any kind of space, physical space or cyberspace, it doesn't matter. You still need meditation and the precepts if you want to get through to the other side. Some of these places are places where people can get really seriously injured. Fools rush in where angels fear to tread. Be careful about what you rush into. Be careful what you take in through the gate of the senses. Be careful about who you establish a relationship with, electronically or by any other means. The law of karma applies everywhere. People invest this tool with deep longings and no external thing can fulfill those longings, satisfy them. Existed for a few years, and people managed just fine without it. The Buddhas and ancestors knew nothing about it. It is no more helpful for enlightenment than anything else in this world, and like anything else in the world, if it's wrongly used, can be a real hindrance. Don't be a sucker. This is just as much the confusion age as it is the information age. You can pump all the information you want into your head, and it won't help one bit towards enlightenment. Taking in information is not equivalent to wisdom. I go back to my initial point about the attitude that's needed to get through that city. Know what your purpose is. Follow that purpose in a perceptual, meditative way. And don't idle away your time wandering among shadows.